What a blessing to be able to meet like we have again tonight. Just to sit together. I believe it's the Lord's lifted us up to set us together in heavenly places in Christ. A little heaven here below, the Lord's church is for God's little children. And there's a heaven that awaits us that's going to be far more abundant and wonderful than what we're enjoying in the Lord's church. But His church is certainly a place that's above this old earth. And it should be a joyful thing for us to enter into His gates and to come and worship Him as we have tonight. To pray together and thank the Lord for the sweet prayer that's been offered. I feel like each of you have been praying for me tonight. And I'm thankful for that. I ask you just to continue to pray for me. And I believe the Lord was blessing Brother Junior in his prayer. I give the Lord the praise for that. And to feel His presence just one time in this old world. What a great, great blessing that is. And we've enjoyed it many times where we've had the abundant blessings of the Lord. And causes us to hope for more of it as we live here. Hope for more tonight as the Lord supplies what we stand in need of. My thoughts have been on a very familiar passage. I'm going to read it in your hearing, and don't know how long I'll stand before you, but we've had quite a good time already singing the hymns. It's a blessing just to come sing for a half an hour and lift up our voices in praise. We got a little more than a half an hour in tonight, and that was a great, great blessing. And then to mention all of the needs that God's people have. What a mess we would be in if we didn't have a God to look to. We'd have that whole list and much, much more. And without any hope of anything being any better. Tonight I want you to know that we have a God who hears the effectual fervent prayers of His people. And He hears each and every one of them. And He answers them in accord with His will, which is in our best interest. And though we may doubt that from time to time, it doesn't change the reality that God does. And I want to remind you of that as well. And to be able to pray together is a great blessing. And then He's written us the entirety of His Word. As God's little children, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to help us along in this world to live and act as His disciples and to truly follow Him. The subject that's on my mind tonight is when His disciples were on the ship and the storm came upon them while they were out there on the ship, and all that surrounded that and their feelings about it and how they responded, as well as how the Lord responded to them. And I do get a picture as we read this passage of the very lives of God's people as we're here in this world. It's kind of like we're on a ship and we're on a trip, and we've got an end that we're looking to get to, a destination we're looking to get to. We're not in control of that, no more than they were. We're dependent on the same one they were. We're looking to the same one. As we're on this ship and as we're living our lives, we are obligated as God's little children to listen to the Lord and to live the best we can as His disciples. The Bible teaches us how it is we are His disciples. I mentioned last weekend just briefly that there's a difference between being a child of God and a disciple, and that is absolutely true. There's a difference in being a child of God and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times that God's little children are not acting and behaving like His disciples. They're not following Him. They're not following Him doesn't mean they're not His children. It just means they're walking in rebellion or in disobedience or in ignorance. They either don't know the way and need to be taught the way, or they know the way and just have the old nature rise up in them and they go another course. And we see that throughout the Scripture. His disciples at times did not act like disciples, did not behave like disciples, because a disciple means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light for the purpose of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some men who think that If you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ in every step of the way, then that means you do not belong to Him and you're not His child. And that has absolutely nothing to do with us being His child. We're His child because we're born His child. We're actually His child because He made choice of us in a covenant of grace, even before the foundation of the world. He chose us out of all the family that was fallen, and all of us were in that fallen state, God seeing us. He chose each and every one of His children individually, and every one of them He made choice of. And the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And that knowing means He loves them. What we want to understand, because it's really important to get that right as far as how what it is to be a disciple. You see, if we get the idea at any time I'm doing this in order to be His child, then we are adding to the salvation and the work of salvation. And really, it's kind of like the one that said you can't add a new garment to an old garment. That if you add, if you try to sew on a new piece to the old garment, what you got is a mess. You got a worse mess than you had before. Now, the old garment is this old nature. And if we think we can just add something to a good works or anything else to this old nature to make it better, it's like trying to sew a new piece on an old garment. All you have is something that doesn't make, it doesn't match. There has to be a complete change in order for us to be made acceptable unto the Lord. There has to be a complete change that takes place where we are made new creatures, where old things pass away and behold, all things become new. And that change happens in the new birth. And that happens when we're born again. And somewhere in the life of a little child of God, between conception, when his natural or her natural life begins, and death, when the spirit and the soul depart from the body, every one of his children will be born again. Daddy used to say this verse. You've heard it many times. He quoted it almost every time he was in the stand, especially towards the latter years. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Such is everyone, or so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Which means your new birth and my new birth, we didn't have anything at all to do with. There was not anything I could do about that. There was not anything I would want to do. There was not anything I could do. It took the power and the work of Almighty God. For me to take credit or to cause any man else or to say any other man else would take credit is to take a power that belongs only unto God and give it to man, which man has no power to cause one to be born again. I know there are many people who feel like if you spend enough money, you can get people born again. Or if you send enough preachers to a certain place, you can get people born again. Or if you send certain groups to a certain Sunday schools or certain other things, you can get people born again. Or if mama and daddy will do their job, people will get born again. But I want you to know the new birth is not of the will of man or the ability of man, but it's of the will of God and it's done by the power of God. And every one of God's little children, with one of them being missed, is going to be born again sometime between conception when life begins and death when the spirit and soul leaves this body. They will all be born of God. And just like God blows the wind, and when God blows the wind, I'm telling you, there's an evidence that takes place. There's a work that takes place. And He blows it where He wants to. I can go outside and say, wind, blow over here, and the wind ain't listening to me. I can say, wind, don't blow here, and the wind doesn't listen to me. But I'll tell you, there's one who's in control of the wind. We're about to prove that. In this very text, we'll know who that is. And when the Lord blows His wind, He can do it in Africa as well as America. He does it around the world. He can do it in the womb of a mother. He can do it at the very last hour when even an old thief was hanging on the cross. We have evidence throughout the Scripture that the Lord works in His will, in His time, in the hearts of every one of His children. What we do know is not necessarily when it's going to happen, but we know this. Every one of God's elect will be called. And just as sure as He foreknew them, He will call them. Just as sure as He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. And salvation is not in my hands or your hands, eternally speaking. But there is something God's little children can do to help one another and even save one another as we live here in this world. And that's important to understand. Now, I know old Baptists really perk up when you're talking about man saving somebody. You go like, well, what's he on now? Something different than what we ever heard before. But it's really not. The old brethren have been preaching this a long time. Eternally speaking, there is absolutely nothing I can do to save one eternally. There's not anything I need to do to save one eternally. There's nothing I could do to add to what Jesus did in saving them eternally. It's the work of Almighty God. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. The Old Testament says that we should fear before Him. God doeth it. And God is perfect. His ways are perfect. Aren't you sure thankful that the salvation of God's children is not in the hands of some puny man? Even the best of men, I wouldn't want to trust them for the salvation of the Lord's people. There's only one man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who stands between God and man as our intercessor. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only intercessor, the only mediator, the only propitiation, the only help we need, eternally speaking. He is the only Savior. And beside Him, there is none other. It's not the Lord and the preacher. It's not the Lord and His mother Mary. It's not the Lord and the apostles. It's not the Lord and the ministers that stand in the pulpit. It's not the Lord and mama. It's not the Lord and daddy. There's only one to be glorified. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be thanking any man for helping us get there. We're certainly not going to be patting ourselves on the back, thanking ourselves. We have one to thank, and I'll tell you, that's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it? To be able to eternally, and it's an eternal day, to eternally thank Him for what He did for us. Oh, poor worms of the dust that would have never done anything. Thou worm Jacob. That's what we are. And that's where we would have remained were it not for the grace of Almighty God. And there's not one of us who would have put ourselves on the path of discipleship or desired to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ or seen anything lovely about Him or anything worthwhile about Him. It took Him to open our eye. It took Him to unstop our ear. It took Him to move our heart, to give us a hunger and an appetite for spiritual things. A natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. If you know these things, it's only because God has awakened you to them. And what I have to say to you tonight is there's not anything I can get you to do or that you need to do to become His child. You are His child, born by His grace, born of His love and His mercy. He's worked that work in you, and there's not a thing I can do to get you to have it or take anything from it. But there is something that I can do as a minister of the gospel to help you in the path of discipleship. Now, again, that's not how to be a child of God. It's how a child of God ought to be. And that's a big difference. Because there's a lot of people trying to tell people how to become a child of God. And that is something you can't do and you don't need to do. God will have every one of His children. I believe you believe that. I hope you believe that. And if you don't believe that, I hope I can help you believe that. That won't make you His child, but it sure make you happy. It'll sure give you peace about it. Because tonight, if you feel like you have some part in it, aren't you like me? Everything I've ever had a part in, I messed up. Even when I thought I didn't mess up, if I look at it under a bright enough light or in enough detail, if I magnify it up big enough, even when there's times when I felt like, well, maybe I said that so good I didn't need to add anything to it. All I have to do is listen to it again and run it over one more time and get a little more wisdom and a little more understanding. And you'll find that even in our best efforts, you think, well, that preacher hit it right on the nose and it just can't be added to. And then you'll have a little old brother come up into the stand and next thing you know, he done said more. And you just get lifted up and you think, well, that preacher, I thought he got it, but he didn't get it all. There's still more to get. And brethren, when we get through tonight, like we sang, like we've said today, the half is yet to be told about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Not a thing tonight we can do to make you His child. But as His child, there is much help that God's little children can be given to be His disciples. And we think of, and let me read the passage. Here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4. And verse 35. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, which is at verse 41. My Bible has a little title up at the top. Some of you might have the same publisher. It says, Christ calms the sea. Boy, he does, doesn't he? Christ calms the sea. And this account is also given in two other places in the Word of God, and we may refer to some of those or may just paraphrase what's said over there. I surely encourage you to look at those passages as well. But it said in verse 35, it says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." And who he's speaking to here is his disciples. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What I want to look at first of all is that there were disciples here that were followers of the Lord Jesus. Jesus had given them a commandment. He commanded them, "Let us go on the other side." He told them, "We're going over to the other side." And what Jesus tells you is what you ought to do. That's what we do. We might want to know how it is we can be His disciples. What is it we're to do to be His disciples? I think of that passage over in John chapter 8 where Jesus was speaking to those Jews that believed on Him. And there in John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, He says, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Now, listen, those who wanted to be in His word and desired to be and believed on Him, we believe and understand that in order to believe on Him, you have to have faith. In order to have faith, you have to have life. That life precedes faith and life precedes belief. And so if you have a believer, you have one that's already a child of God. These are God's children that He's talking to. But then as God's children, He teaches them. He says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him." And their believing on Him gave evidence that they were God's children. The evidence is that they had faith. And faith is the gift of God. They have salvation. Faith is the gift of God. They have faith because they've been born of His Spirit. The life that's in them has given them faith. They have the substance to believe. They have the evidence to believe. And He's saying to them that believe, He says, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." What does that say to us tonight? That in order to be His disciples, we got to continue in His word. We got to do what He says. We can't just say, "Okay, I'm a little child of God, and it doesn't matter how I live, how I act, how I talk, how I behave, whether I go to church, whether I don't. Whether I'm faithful to the Lord or not, I can just live any old way." As a matter of fact, you already know this in your heart because the Spirit of God within you has already taught you what I just said, that you can't do that. Now, as a minister of the gospel, I'm duty bound according to the Word of God to tell you that anyway, but it already relates, doesn't it? You already know, "Well, I can tell those lies like I used to tell." Well, you can tell them, but you're not happy with it. And just because I might be looking at you, I think you will lie. Even though I got to look at somebody. Sister Belinda looked at me like, "What are you? I didn't tell any lie." She said, "It wasn't on me." What I'm saying to you, God knows tonight how we live. God knows how we act. God knows how we behave. God knows how we think. God knows how we conduct ourselves. And the very best of us, no matter who it might be, have areas in our life that we're messing up. I have them, you have them, we all have them. And if it's not this, it's that. I told Brother Terry, I woke up several times last night thinking about the Scripture and what a beautiful thing it was to be able to wake up even in a dream thinking about the Scripture. It was a beautiful thing. But along with that, I woke up thinking about chocolate chip cookies and how those white chocolate chips and a great big cookie would smell. I could even taste them in the dream. And I sat there and thought, "Oh, how good it was." And as I was dreaming and ate that chocolate chip cookie, I thought, "Oh, how much I've messed up doing this." Because I'm battling that as a particular problem that I have. Not your problem, it's my problem. Some of us have that problem, others have other problems. What I'm saying to you tonight, none of us tonight are problem free. I've got things that bother me, you've got things that bother you. Some of them that bother other people don't bother me at all, but some of them that bother other people bother me a lot. And the bottom line is, I have those problems in my life and I need help in order to be able to live as His disciples. And I need to be able to battle. As Brother Junior said, I need to put on the whole armor of God. He's given me that armor to wear. Putting on the armor doesn't make me His child. I'm already His child by His grace and His mercy. But I, as His child, am to put on the armor. And part of what I am to do as a minister is to help you put on the armor by teaching you what the armor is and encouraging you to put it on. And you do that as well when you minister to me. And you help me along the way. Pray for me. I believe you pray for me. I believe you're praying for me. I feel your prayers. I'd be mighty... If you don't love me, don't tell me, because I really believe you do tonight. I believe you love me. I believe you've shown me that. And we pray for one another. And we need help, don't we, in this world. And we can help one another along the way. We can't make children of God. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a joyful mother of children. I want you to get this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ collectively acts to each individual member like a mother. A mother doesn't kick her children to the curb. Her mother doesn't turn her back when her children disobey. A mother doesn't turn and just walk away or get impatient. A good, faithful mother hangs in there because she has a love for her children, and she will do anything to help them along. And when they stumble and fall, when they need a word of encouragement, when they need some correction, she applies that. And I'll tell you what this mother does, the church. It has a faithful husband that if that mother listens to her husband, she'll know just how to treat every one of her children. What I'm saying to you, if we don't listen to our Savior, we as a church won't know how to act. But when we listen to the Savior, we'll know how to treat one another, and we'll know how to be a help for one another, and we'll be a joyful mother. That's a joyful, happy church that's looking to Jesus. And it's an unhappy church that stops looking to Him, and we do and act and behave in ways we ought not. And we do dishonor to our husband. And tonight you and I have a husband who has loved us so much. I'm talking about Jesus. He loved us so much that He gave His life in our room instead. You may have a lot of people in your life. I had a grandmama who loved me and would do anything for me if I'd have killed somebody. She'd have brought me into the basement and hid me away and said, and then said that person probably deserved it. She would have defended me and taken up for me. And it was a love that maybe was more than it ought to be. You know, I'm not saying all about that. She loved me also enough to take me to the woodshed. And we did have a woodshed, and she didn't worry about the woodshed. There was a maple tree between me and the woodshed that she got to before the woodshed. And she believed in applying what was necessary. And it meant a lot to me that she would love me that much. At the time it didn't. At the time I wish she'd have missed those that part. But she was a good mama, a good grandmama. But I'm telling you, with my grandmother and with my granddaddy, with my daddy and with my mama, with my children, with all of my wife and all of the blessings that the Lord has provided for me, there's never been anyone like Jesus. There's never been one who's loved me and knows me for the mess that I am. And in spite of that, He gave His very life. He came willingly and took my sins in His own body and paid the sin debt for my hell. He bought me and paid for me and gave His very life in my room instead. He did it to please the Father, but He also did it because He loved me. He loved me because the Father loved me, and He and us and His Father was one, and the Spirit loved me, and we have a God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that has secured us, and you and I owe Him everything. He's the one who's given me the very life that I have. He's the one who gave me my good grandmama. He's the one who gave me my mama and my daddy and my grandfather. He's the one who's given me the blessings of this church down through the years and all the dear old saints that used to fill the bench that have been praying for others along the way who've gone home to be with the Lord. And not only that, He's given me others that came in when they left. You know, it would have been a sad thing if there hadn't been some others added. And I thank God for every bit of the fellowship He's allowed me to have in this world that has so enriched my life, made really life worth living. What that means is I am obligated to Him to try the very best I can to live as His disciple, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, I need to continue in His Word. That's why we come to hear preaching. And you'll find rest as you hear preaching. Haven't you found that already? That as you hear the Word and you apply the Word in your life, you'll find rest. And the reason for that is not because we are so smart, or because the ministers are so smart, or because the mother got it right. It's because the mother's listening to her husband. And the husband said this. He said it to all of God's children. He said, "Ye who are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and you'll find rest." I believe that's talking about the eternal. You find rest about eternal things when you look to Jesus and Jesus alone. Tonight, if you're trusting in the preacher, if you're trusting in your baptism, if you're trusting in your efforts of walking down the aisle, if you're trusting in your profession of faith, if you're trusting in any other thing other than the blood of Jesus and that alone for your home in heaven, you're really not at peace about that. And you search your conscience and your heart and find that that's not the case. I spent many years thinking that it was up to me to make the profession of faith and believe it good enough and have what's called saving faith in order to be assured that I was His child. And what that did for me is that when I had those doubts and fears, it left me in a quandary. It left me in a mess. It left me in a place where I didn't know, am I His or am I not? And what's good about this, a little child of God might ask the question, am I His or am I not? But here's the reality. If you belong to Him, you're His. Whether you say, am I His or am I not? And you have never not been anything but His. I'm telling you, just like those disciples felt unsafe, they were never in more safe place than they were in this ship. At any point, at any time, even as they were in that ship and the water was coming in and it was filling the ship and they said, we are in jeopardy. They thought they were in jeopardy, but I'm telling you, there was never a time they were in jeopardy. And the reason is they belonged to Him and not one of them were going to be lost. And even if it had taken their life, He'd have carried them out of this world to be with Him in glory. But there was no chance this ship was going down because the Master who made the heavens and the earth was on the ship. And I'm telling you, somebody said, but He was asleep. Oh, He was asleep all right. Sometimes you and I think He's asleep, don't we? I've asked Him, Lord. I've called out to the Lord. I've said, Lord, help me. I've heard You. And now sometimes I've felt it myself. We cry out and we go, is He hearing me? Lord, are You there? Lord, can You hear me? Are You asleep, Father? Are You hearing me? I want you to know from this scripture we can get this very clearly. We have doubts and we have fears. Sometimes our faith is weak. Sometimes He can say unto us, like He said unto them, let me get this other. He said, if you continue in My Word, then ye are My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then over there in Matthew 11, He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's talking about an eternal rest that we find. But then He says, take My yoke upon you. Now that's talking about discipleship. To take His yoke upon you. What's that mean? That means to yoke up with Him. You ever seen two oxen yoked? I've watched them work at times. It's an amazing thing to see somebody who really knows what they're doing work a team of oxen. You get those oxen and you yoke them up. And I'm telling you, you got one that's a lead ox. And if you got two oxen that don't work together good, if both of them are trying to run things, if both of them are trying to go, they pull and they work against each other. And it's important to have one that's more dominant than the other. Or one that's guiding, one that's directing, and the other one pulling along. But Jesus is the one. Notice He says, take My yoke upon you. I used to just think that meant He put His yoke on us. Oh, listen, He didn't just put His yoke on us. We're yoked with Him. That means, and what that means is, you know, I don't have any strength, but I'll tell you, the one I'm yoked with has strength. I don't know which way to go, but the one I'm yoked with knows which way to go. I don't have any ability in myself, but the one I'm yoked with has given me the ability. He's clothed me with His ability. And when I continue in His Word, then I find rest unto my soul. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Tonight here, you came here for rest. I didn't tell you to go to sleep. I'm not talking about that. I'm not telling you to just lay back. Sometimes, if you're going to rest, though, it's a good place to rest. It's about the safest place you can sleep in this world is in an old church. But I'll tell you what you're missing. What you're missing. There's a rest that's better than the natural sleep. There's a rest that only God can give. And there's a rest about eternal things. But there's a rest also about timely things. Don't you need rest about timely things? I need a rest about today. I need a rest about what's coming this week. I need to know that when it seems like my boat is filling up and I'm about to go down, that I am in the ship with the Master who told me to go the way I'm going. And I want to listen to His Word. I want to follow where He would lead me. When He says, get on the ship, I want to get on the ship. And I want to remember, He said, I'm going to the other side. And that promise is absolutely true. We're going to make it out of this world. Sometimes you think you're not going to make it, but you listen, the God's children couldn't be in safer hands. Tonight you couldn't be in the hands any safer. The Lord is your shepherd, and He is going to provide for you green pastures. He is going to provide for you still waters. And when your soul gets discouraged, He's going to restore your soul. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means when you get right to the door of death itself. And as I get older in my life, it becomes more reality for me. And one time I used to talk about it and say, well, that's something that's way down the road. Even then, I didn't know that how quickly a day can just bring that on. We don't know what kind of report we're going to get at any time. But we do know this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. I'm yoked up with one who cannot fail. Take his yoke upon you. That means acknowledge that he's the one in charge. He is in charge, but acknowledge it. Listen, God's little children as disciples are to acknowledge him in all your ways. I want to recognize he's in charge. You want to see a church mess up? You just let them forget who's in charge. Let them start thinking the preacher's in charge. You'll have a mess. Let them start thinking some of the deacons are in charge. You'll have a mess. Let them start thinking. They cease to be a joyful mother. They are not obedient to their husband. There's only one that's in charge. And I'm so thankful for that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hasn't left us without leadership and instruction. He's written us our entire Bible that we might look at it and read it. He says, and you'll know that. And if you know the truth, it'll make you free. It doesn't bind you up. How much of the doctrine of this world binds up God's little children, puts them in bondage? We hear it over and over again. We see God's little people under bondage. But oh, how good the doctrines of grace are, because what grace does, grace is free and it sets you free. It gives you a rest and a peace and a hope and a Lord who cannot fail. He said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. I picture these mariners on their boats, men that are taking care of that, and then the disciples are there, and they're out there in the midst of this sea, and no doubt the sea seemed to be calm, and everything seemed to be okay, and there they go out on life's journey. And isn't it like that sometimes? Sometimes things seem just as calm as can be. I remember when I first joined the church, it seemed such a beautiful day and a beautiful time. I thought, boy, all my troubles are over now. I'm not going to have any more problems. Everything's going to be smooth from here on out. And it isn't very long that as you're a long life's way, the next thing you know, here comes a problem. And as you grow on in years, here comes another problem. And then here comes another problem. And then we read in His Word where He says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, and we find that to be the case. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. He says that as sure as we're in this world as God's little children, we're going to suffer in this world as a result of that. Remember the one who said, the scribe who came and said, I'll follow you anywhere you can go. And he said, the foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And what he's saying to him, he said, look, to be a follower of me doesn't mean you're going to all... That man had thought it was going to be a follower of Jesus meant I was going to always have things easy. I'm telling you, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world is not going to always have things easy. Just as sure as you're in this world, you're going to have some storms. Jesus is teaching that. And sometimes those storms will be like little ripples you got to get through, and you kind of handle that. Sometimes you feel like your boat's going to sink. You ever feel like your boat's going to sink? Listen, I'm treading water here. You know, everything, I'm digging it out. I'm trying to make my way. And Lord, where is the Lord? Oh, He's over there asleep. He's in the hinder part of the ship. He's asleep, and we get the idea that He's asleep because the Son of Man was asleep. We get the idea that the Son of God was asleep. Let me tell you this. The Son of Man was asleep because He was a man. He took upon Himself a body of flesh, and He had the weaknesses of a man. Not that He had any sin, but He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be weary. And because He was weary, He'd been preaching all day long. And I know, and you understand when you've been going at something all day long, and oh, what it must have been to think about Jesus, how weary He would have been as a man, not because of His weakness. He who was rich and would have never been weak became poor. He took upon Himself our infirmities so that He could be that high priest that could be touched in all points. He did it that He might offer a perfect sacrifice as man. He became man. But I want you to know, just because the Son of Man was asleep, don't you think for one minute they were in peril. Because the keeper of Israel, Psalm 121 verse 4, tells us that the keeper of Israel slumbers and sleeps not. You ever feel like he's asleep? I want to tell you tonight, he's not asleep. You're treading water and you may feel all alone, but you're not alone. No, never alone. That's him right a wrote. No, never alone. Even though you feel alone, even though you may think you're alone, you're never alone. Even if everybody else abandoned you, you have a friend in Jesus who loved you enough to die for you. And He who loved you enough to die for you, you have the Father who sent His only begotten Son and loved you that much. How shall He not, if the Father loved you that much, how shall He not with Him also freely give you all things? Which means He will supply what you stand in need of, and His Word says that. And He has the power to supply it. Even if it seems that He's asleep, He who keepeth Israel. And Israel, by the way, is a picture of His chosen children. He who keeps His children slumbers and sleeps not. And I believe He knew about everything was going on even as He slept. Y'all believe in that? Y'all believe that? Listen, He made the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And it's by His power, not only that it was made, it's by His power that all things consist. I don't believe for one minute the Son of God was ever in a place that He wasn't intimately aware about everything that was going on. I'm telling you, His disciples shouldn't have doubted Him or been afraid, and He told them as such, just like He did with us. He said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I'll even tell you this. I believe the Lord was in charge of the storm. I believe the Lord even brought the trouble of that way. Not that He's the author of evil or the author of sin, but I'm telling you, He suffers God's little children to go through things in this life that causes us to be drawn closer to Him. And there are times you're going through hard times, and the purpose of those times is that you might come to Him and see your need of Him and cry out to Him. I'm telling you, these disciples, when they got through with this ship ride, were never the same. They had seen something that had so marveled them and amazed them. They said, this man has the power to speak to the waves and to the seas, and they obey His voice. And if they really believe that, and if you and I believe that tonight, that says very simply that Jesus was verily God. He wasn't just the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. And He wasn't just the Son. He was verily God. He was the everlasting Father. He's the one that Isaiah said was Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that's who Jesus is tonight. He's the same tonight. So are you in that boat? I can see you right now in the boat, and I'm treading water. Master, I've been there. Master, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, totally in control. He's just resting his natural body, but he's totally in control. Tonight, he's totally in control. He's just waiting. Yeah, we're waiting on him. And here, as he says, and they awake him and say unto him, Master. And over in one of the, it says they repeated that, Master, Master. He says, Carest not, carest thou not that we perish? Were they perishing? No, they weren't. He said, do you know? And they accused him not only of not taking care of them and that they were perishing, but that he didn't care. Who does that sound like sometimes? You ever thought? I'm going down here and nobody, and then we'll say stuff like that. I'm going down, nobody cares. Who's caring about me? We'll get in that old self. The old self just does all kinds of things. Oh, I'll tell you, there's times we feel like that. And remember when you're thinking about that wonderful hymn, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus Care? And the hymn writer said, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. He cares about us. And when we feel like no one else cares, listen, no one else understands. I want you to know the master of the ship, though he may seem to be asleep, is not asleep. He doesn't slumber or he doesn't sleep. He says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose. Jesus arose. And he just comes over and very calmly, he just rebukes the wind. Isn't it wonderful to have someone in such control and in such power that he can just say, wind, stop blowing. Now, you and I can get out there and say, wind, stop blowing all we want to. We might want to say that for one of God's little children. We can't control that. But I can tell you what we can do. We can pray to the one who's able to say, wind, stop blowing. Do you remember on another occasion where Jesus didn't see fit to cause the wind to stop blowing? He just walked right out on the water as the wind was blowing. He didn't always just calm the storm. Sometimes he walks out in the storm just to show you that he's able to walk on a stormy sea. He even allows us, as he did Peter, come on, Peter, you can step out and walk also. Peter said, Lord, if it's thee, bid me come. He said, come on. And when Peter stepped out on that water, he walked on the water. Then all of a sudden Peter dropped. Have you ever done this? I'm looking at the Lord and I'm walking on the water. I'm doing just fine. But he took off his armor. He stopped following. He got his eyes off Jesus. And he put his eyes on the storm. What is he teaching us here? He's teaching us that you and I got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I got to remind you of that. You got to remind me of that. We need to tell one another that. Because as we look to Jesus and we continue in His Word, then are we His disciples. Oh my goodness. We are His disciples indeed. I'm way, way over time. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And Jesus said, Peace be still. I'm telling you, every drop of water got still. Every wind stopped blowing. He controlled the elements in the air. He controlled the elements in the ocean. In the Sea of Galilee. And he says, and the wind ceased. And that was a great calm. I'm telling you, those sailors had never seen such as that. They looked and said, man, who is this? And that's what you and I see. So have you ever just felt that sometimes when He moves in such a marvelous way in our life, we get to say, man, who is this? What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a Lord. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? My question to you tonight and to me is, why are we so fearful? Sometimes we get afraid, don't we? Remember what Jesus, His words, this is His words to us. Why are you so fearful? Listen, he may seem asleep. He's not. The Son of Man was asleep, but the Son of God, he never slumbers or he never sleeps. How is it that you have no faith? That didn't mean they didn't have it. It means they weren't exercising it. They weren't using it. They had faith to believe in Him. That's how they're on the boat. They belong to Him. He's given them faith. And he's done those things for them, but there they weren't using it. He says, how is it that you have no faith? One place he says, where is your faith? And then he says in another place, oh ye of little faith. So we see that their faith was weak. Is not our faith weak? And you know, that's one thing that happens. You come to church, and doesn't it help you? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Initial faith by the work of the living Word of God in our hearts. But then as we hear the truth preached, your faith is increased. That's why when you come to church, your faith gets stronger. You have more ability to trust. After hearing this, you have more ability to trust. I want you to notice this week when you're in the middle of the boat and you feel like it's going down, remember, He's in the ship with you. He has said we're going to the other side and we're going to get that which He's promised. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" I'll tell you, that's who we serve tonight. We have one, though it's our problems are bigger than we can handle, they're not too big for Him. And we take it to the Lord, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He's told us over and over again to just trust in Him and lean not on our own understanding. I pray that He will just bless us to not only we are His children, but that we might be obedient children and walk as much as we can as His disciples, which are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting and looking to Him, keeping our eye on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.